listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good to be with you on this Monday morning in November, November the 3rd, the Feast of All Souls, very important feast in the life of the Church. Up in Canada, I believe it's a Holy Day of Obligation.
Yes, it is.
But we want
is it the 3rd or the 2nd?
What's today? Today's the 2nd, right? The second, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll start the show all over again. Welcome to this Catholic Community of Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation with the Archdiocese, co-hosting with Wayne Magyars.
Good morning, Grats. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing today?
Father Greg would never make a mistake like that.
Oh, no. No, Father Greg gets all things right. We're going to have to write a new ode in his praise.
We should probably do that.
At least on a weekly basis.
I know.
Where is he today?
I don't know. He's probably doing some chores around the parish. You know,
of course,
it's parish first,
of
radio
course.
Second.
A school
he's
mass.
Got his priorities totally aligned.
See, well, that's why he's right. Doing a school mass because it's the Feast of All Souls.
That's right.
So we want to encourage everyone to pray for their dearly departed. Make a visit in your local church if you have the opportunity. If you can't, pray from wherever you are. God always hears us. We have an exciting show today. We're going to be talking about a speaker series at Holy Name Cathedral, which is going to bring together a number of professionals in different areas of expertise as part of a continuing education program. You know, a lot of us who were taught by the good sisters and many of us who simply went through Catholic schools without the benefit of some of those good sisters haven't really been updated in the faith since that Catholic education ended. Is that the case for you, Wayne?
No, you are Catholic education.
I am totally immersed in it
day by day, right.
Loyola University with the Jesuits.
One of our deans is across the table from me. I have to behave, and I have to look at him, and I say, Jeff, you're really the guy. He's the man.
All right. We have in the studio today, where's my list? Here we go. Dr. Jeffrey Rosen, who's the dean of the Loyola School of Continuing and Professional Studies. And he's going to discuss how the Holy Name Cathedral parishioners, as well as other parishioners of nearby parishes, can take advantage of the continuing education courses provided by the university at its Lewis Towers and North Shore campuses, as well as remote locations. So we're going to hear all about that. You tell us about Dr. Dennis McNamara.
And Dennis McNamara is on the phone. He is a noted church architecture historian, a member of the faculty at the Liturgical Institute out at St. Mary the Lake up in Mundelein, author of a new book, which we want to talk about before we end the program today, and talking about the connection between the Catholic Church, the Temple of the Old Testament, as well as the biblical significance, signs, and symbols used in church design. So Dennis on the telephone with us this morning. Good morning, and welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, gentlemen.
And we're also going to be speaking with Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, the G is silent, there's just G somewhere in that name, who is our superintendent of Catholic schools. And I'm very intrigued by the title of her presentation, Grace and Guts, Creating the Future of Catholic Education. So she'll be joining us shortly in the studio, and we welcome everyone to the program this morning.
Thanks very much.
Well, how about the last shall be first?
How about Frank Muldowney to start?
Oh.
Who's the glue that's holding all this together?
Frank
is the is a parishioner at Holy Name. He's also assistant manager of the real estate department here at the Archdiocese. Frank, maybe you can start giving us a little bit of the background about how this series came about. You're a co-chair of the education committee over at Holy Name, right?
Yes. What we're trying to do is we're trying to balance the education that we're providing for the parishioners and hit those three things we talked about: faith, your profession, and your daily life, and how Catholicism intersects with that. We're not looking at a professional course or getting a degree, but something that a parishioner can attend either on a short term or several nights a week or several nights over several weeks and gain an insight to their own position in life and their own spiritual life as well as their professional life. So, in effect, we want to handle both the body, mind, and spirit, all three.
Now, are these speakers coming back for more than a single presentation?
We generally have one speaker per session, but we have three sections, fall, spring, and Lent. And we may bring back some speakers for the subsequent series. And they may give a little bit of a different slant on the second time versus the first time.
All right. Why don't you give us the dates of these upcoming events? This
sure.
way, as people are listening, they can be tuning into which date they might be available for and want to attend.
Sure. November 4th, tomorrow, is Sister Mary Paul McCaughey. And again, she's a very dynamic speaker, so that'll be a lot of fun. The 11th is Dennis, and Dennis gave us a presentation over here at Quigley concerning the St. James Chapel. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. And Dr. Jeffrey Rosen has an immense amount of material to show us and to show us how we can take advantage of it. He's on the 18th of November. Dennis is on the 11th of November.
Excellent. Well, how about the last be first now? Dr. Jeffrey Rosen, you're the dean of Loyola's Continuing and Professional Studies program. Tell us about the kinds of offerings that you have and the kinds of things you're going to make these people aware of during your presentation.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And thanks for allowing me this time to promote the November 18th lecture. What I'll be presenting is our Continuum program. Continuum is a program of non-credit continuing education. Loyola began Continuum 3 years ago. We're in our fourth year. And we think of Continuum as an extension of the riches and the intellectual life of the university. In particular, we have two broad categories of programs. We have programs in the humanities and programs in the professional studies areas. So it's really an opportunity to allow people who are not 18 to 22 years old to continue their education to without grades, without tests.
No pressure.
No pressure at all.
How do you keep your fingers on the pulse of the adult population in trying to decide what their interests are, what really gets them excited about continuing to delve into certain subject matters? Where do you start?
We have a broad array of courses, Wayne. We have courses offered by some of the Jesuits in the Jesuit community. We offered courses in Paul and Luke, and upcoming this spring we'll have a course on the resurrection according to Luke. So we have some specifically Catholic courses dealing with Catholic subjects, but we also have a broad array of lifestyle courses, classes in wines of Italy, olive oil, and classes in yoga coming up for the spring. But we also, knowing that many parishioners, many in our community, have experienced the downside of the economy, we offered a number of courses that did very well on how to retool oneself to do well in today's economy. Resume writing, interviewing skills, practical areas of the world like financial accounting. We're trying to cover a broad array, drawing upon the expertise at the university.
Is there a cost connected with these courses?
Yes, there is. We have courses that are modestly priced. We have three-week and six-week seminars that may run as high as $350, but we also have short-term seminars, weekend seminars that are in the range of $40 and $60 and $75.
Now, Dr. Dennis McNamara, you're going to be looking at and talking about church architecture. You're on the faculty up at St. Mary the Lake in Mundelein, and with the city of Chicago as your laboratory, this has got to be a pretty exciting way to get adults at Holy Name Cathedral really immersed in the architecture of churches throughout Chicago.
Sure. Chicago has a terrific collection of churches that have been sort of overwhelmed by the skyscrapers, by the historians, but they're just starting to discover how wonderful they are.
How do you start for someone like yours truly, who is not exactly tuned or trained in architecture, to get someone to begin to appreciate what's there, especially as it relates to the churches here in Chicago?
Well, we have a lot of churches of different styles, and a lot of people have understood, you know, the terms of art history. But what I like to help people understand is how the church that they've been in their whole lives, in which they see every week or every day, fulfill biblical typologies, things like the Temple of Solomon and images of heaven. And they've been experiencing this kind of theology their whole lives, but they haven't been able to put words to it yet. So it's really not new or complicated. It's just finally they get to understand what they've been understanding intuitively their whole lives.
We're going to continue this conversation. Dennis has a lot more to tell us about his area of expertise, church architecture, and the beauty of the Catholic tradition in that area. But we're going to take a short break, so please stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
As we celebrate the Year for Priests, look for stories about how we honor our priests, in the Pope's words, with gratitude for their work and witness of their life.
Visit our website at www.catholicnewworld.com to view our photo gallery and catch up on the latest news. Subscribe to the Catholic New World online, at your parish church during our subscription drive, or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection. There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Come enjoy more than 250 wines from around the world at Catholic Charities' 9th Annual Divine Affair on January 31st at the Union League Club in Chicago. Catholic Charities hosts this annual event to benefit its self-sufficiency programs for poor families. Tickets cost $100 and include wine tasting and appreciation seminars and a silent auction. A special reduced rate will be offered to designated drivers. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/divine or call 312-655-7912 for details.
And welcome back into the program, 9:12 on a Monday morning in Chicago, talking about the upcoming speaker series at Holy Name Cathedral, which actually continues this Wednesday, November 4th, with Sister Mary Paul McCoy, who is the superintendent of Catholic schools. Joining us is Frank Muldowney, who is the co-chair of the Education Committee at Holy Name, Dr. Jeff Rosen, dean of Loyola's School of Continuing and Professional Studies, and Dr. Dennis McNamara, who is a noted church architecture historian. And we'll be speaking, actually, Dennis, on a week from Wednesday, on November 11th, and one of the churches that you've written about before in some of your work, Dennis, is where you'll be speaking next Wednesday, which is Holy Name Cathedral. Give us in 2 minutes something we would have an ooh-wow moment and want to know about Holy Name as the seat of the Archbishop here in Chicago.
Well, lots of people know that the cathedral partakes of the Gothic Revival, and many Chicago churches do that. What a lot of people don't often realize is that you can see the building of the Temple of Solomon, the Old Testament, fulfilled at Holy Name. And there's been a whole big explosion in studies on the temple and its meaning in the last couple of years. And the basic notion was that the inside of the Temple of Solomon was supposed to show the world restored back to the garden-like condition of the Garden of Eden. And then there was a little room in the back that was the Holy of Holies, where God's presence dwelt. And so when you go through Holy Name Cathedral, you see this porch in the front, what we call the narthex. The temple had a porch. And then the large room in the temple had images of palm trees and flowers and gourds and vegetables with angels. And that's the equivalent of the nave in a church. So when a Catholic goes into the nave of a church and prays, what they're actually doing is fulfilling what the priests in the Temple of Solomon did, that they walk around in the garden, this architectural rendition of the Garden of Eden. And when the priest comes from the sanctuary, from the altar, with the Eucharist and meets them at the border of the sanctuary and the nave, that's actually heaven and earth meeting as they receive the presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And so we have this notion of heaven coming backward toward us and then the Old Testament coming forward toward us. And when you talk about Vatican II's call for full and conscious and active participation, these are the kinds of things that can really deepen a conscious participation in the liturgy.
Now, the things you've just shared, Dennis, really set an agenda for church architecture. When you're viewing the purpose of the architecture from that vantage point, it really tells you what, you know, it gives you some pretty solid ideas of what it should look like. Doesn't seem to conform with my experience of a lot of post-Vatican II church architecture. Can you comment on that a little bit? Why did the architecture following the council go in such a different direction?
Well, after the council, there were a lot of ideas in the air to sort of correct what they saw as abuses before the council, that there was so much liturgical art everywhere, so much devotional art everywhere, that people were saying the rosary instead of listening to the words of Mass. And sometimes people thought, well, it'd be better just to paint the whole thing white and get rid of all those things that look like distractions so that people could learn how to participate in the very text of the liturgy itself. And that was a corrective. You know, when you have an illness, sometimes you have to take medicine that has side effects. But now we have a healthier liturgical life, and I think we're starting to realize that the building doesn't just have to be neutral, but that it actually is part of the rite. It lets you know things about the heavenly realities that you wouldn't otherwise know, and they don't conflict with the action of the Mass. It's showing you what the Mass is in its sort of heavenly and cosmic dimensions.
Yeah, one of the things that I think it tells you has everything to do with yesterday's feast and today's. You know, yesterday we celebrated All Saints, today we're celebrating All Souls, and I think one of the aspects of the Catholic genius is that we understand that we're part of this much larger body than those who are gathered physically within the space on any given Sunday, that those dearly departed, that the saints and the angels are worshiping with us. And the church architecture, the statues, the stained glass windows, I think, remind us of that. Is that the purpose of those?
Yeah, well, they not only remind us, but in a high theology of art, they actually make present those saints who are, they're spiritually present, but we can't see them, and they make them present to our senses, so our eyes can then perceive them. And, you know, interestingly, Pope Paul VI gave a speech to artists, and he said to them, your work is strangely like our own, meaning the work of priests, that they make the presence of this mystical body of Christ knowable to the human eye. So it had this parallel to actually the sacramental life of the priest.
Dennis, I can completely understand that you're going to have your audience mesmerized with all this great history and information coming up on the 11th. Dr. Rosen, when you look at adult education and talking with groups throughout the Archdiocese in various areas, one of the things that I'm always amazed at is how much adults as learners also want to be adults as teachers, wanting to give back, especially those who have been in careers before, those who have had a long vocation or avocation. They're really a desire, especially as they get older, to share what they know with others. And you see a lot of that, right?
We certainly do. In fact, in the field, we're sometimes calling these second professional moments an encore career. And we certainly welcome those who have expertise in particular areas to come back to us or to make their expertise known so that we can provide them a framework where they can share that expertise.
You were mentioning during the break that one of the offerings that you have through Loyola is related to what we were talking about with Dr. Dennis McNamara.
It is, and I'd love to explore this at some point later. We will be offering a bus tour on early Chicago parishes. So parishioners who attend that bus tour will be able to get a very large view, especially when they come back to Holy Name, and be able to integrate all that they've seen. Given that Chicago is a city of neighborhoods and that many of these parish churches originated there.
Yeah. Coming up on this Wednesday, just 2 days away on November 4th, is Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, who is the superintendent of Catholic schools for Chicago, who has joined us. And we're going to speak with her about Grace and Guts, Creating the Future of Catholic Education. When we return on Catholic Community of Faith, you're listening to Relevant Radio, 950 AM. It's 9:19 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
Very good. Thanks, sister.
For four decades, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development has strived to improve the quality of life in our less fortunate communities. CCHD is committed to the right to life and dignity of every human being. Throughout Cook and Lake County, CCHD-funded programs keep kids safe, help the homeless and the elderly, and defend the rights of workers, immigrants, and people with disabilities. Break the cycle of poverty. Make Chicago and its suburbs a better place to live. Support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Help unwrap the spirit this holiday season with Catholic Charities' annual Celebration of Giving. Catholic Charities invites you to join us in helping children and their families experience the joy and magic of the holiday spirit by sponsoring a family, donating a toy, or volunteering with us during the season. For more details, visit www.catholiccharities.net/celebration or call our hotline at 312-226-0650. That's 312-226-0650.
Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, Superintendent of Catholic Schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago, will speak at Holy Name Cathedral on Wednesday evening, November 4th at 6:30 p.m. Her topic is Grace and Guts, Creating the Future of Catholic Education. Sister Mary Paul is a lively and dynamic speaker who will provide insights into the challenges facing the future of Catholic school education in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Her approach and analysis are based on 37 years of experience as a teacher and school administrator. All are welcome. The presentation will be given in the Cathedral Parish Center Cafeteria at the corner of Chicago and State Street. Parking is available in the Holy Name Cathedral lot. Light refreshments will be served at 6:15 p.m. Sister Mary Paul's presentation starts at 6:30 p.m. Wednesday evening, November 4th. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting with Wayne Majars. We're talking about a speaker series at Holy Name Cathedral. The next event is going to be tomorrow night, and it's going to feature our own Superintendent of Catholic School, Sister Mary Paul McCaughey, who's going to be speaking on a topic that I think I would love to hear about, Grace and Guts, creating the future of Catholic education. You know, I almost don't want to ask you what you're going to be talking about.
Oh, come on, Grace.
Because I've got this great image of what that title should be, and I don't want to risk, you know, that it might not be that.
Oh, well, maybe you'd want to help me fill it in.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's been the problem for a couple of decades now, is that we've been dealing with grace with no guts.
That's right.
So tell us about the guts.
Oh, the guts part? Well, I think the grace part is important, too, because Catholic schools are grace. They are a gift. But we do need to have a lot of courage, a lot of fortitude. Start acting on those gifts of the Holy Spirit to say, what's it all about? It's about how to reach as many young people as we can, how to bring faith and learning to a city, to a nation that's dying for it. We know it's the best vehicle. The research shows it is. And we kind of stand around going, oh, okay, Catholic schools, too bad. You know. And so I'm tired of the mealy-mouthed. It's time to get some guts here.
Good for you. Good for you.
By the way, I misspoke. It's not tomorrow night. It's Wednesday night. I keep thinking today's the
day off today.
Yeah, I am.
You know, you've been at the job, Sister Mary Paul, now for, is it over
14 months, 15 months, but it feels like forever. Yeah.
So what's your take? Last time you were on the program, we talked about Catholic schools in Chicago, and one of the questions I asked you was, do we take Catholic education for granted? Do we assume that it's always going to be there? Do we assume that their sisters will always be in front of the classroom teaching our students? Has your answer changed since last time?
I think probably presumed that we have taken it for granted. And the fact Catholic education has changed radically in the last 30 years. It's become very centered on tuition, you know, the ability of a parent to pay, lost the concept of these children belong to everybody. Yeah. If we want people in the pews down the line, we're going to have to rethink how we deliver this. And that means the schools may be rethinking it, too. It's not just us keeping in a traditional model. It swings both ways. I think the schools have to look to some ways of delivering faith and learning in new ways, in a continuum way. And I think we also then have to take a look at, does the Catholic community have the heart to do what we know is important for this next generation of young people?
What are some of the options about different ways of doing what we've always done before?
I think there are a lot of options, a lot of models of governance. There's some alternative forms of education that we can look at. I think we have to get very active politically. We've never done that before. We're kind of, duh.
That seems like a big part of the key to the solution, don't you think? Because the money is always going to drive this thing. You know, as a Catholic school parent of many years, I know it was always a struggle to come up with that tuition. We could do it, thanks be to God, but a lot of people just can't.
Right, and you made good choices. Money follows quality. Money follows your passion. And so the schools each have to have that kind of passion for excellence and for faith, and demonstrate that and know how to market that in a way that is consistent across the Archdiocese and across the nation to keep that brand alive and to know that this is a huge parental investment, but it goes beyond that. It's an investment of a nation and of the diocese.
Do you think a vouchers program is a realistic hope?
I really think the vouchers, probably we can't use that word in the state of Illinois, but I think we could use grants. I think we could take a look. What's the Pell Grant, the GI Bill? All of those are efforts in which the money follows the kid.
One of the things you're going to be talking about is challenges of Catholic education. Uh-huh. What's the biggest challenge you see here in Chicago?
The challenges in Chicago are just basically to have all of those who are a piece of it talking the same language, speaking the same way about our schools, understanding, first of all, a basic understanding of the value of the schools, basic ownership, and then some vision, recapturing some vision. I've gotten a great deal of support, and I think that's important, and I think I've got to discover whether or not that's just because I'm a newcomer, and now when the rubber meets the road, when we start to experiment with some of these pilots, how is that going to look?
You know, Dennis, Catholic churches were one of the earliest forms of Catholic education, right? In terms of the windows, retelling the stories of Scripture, etc., how can schools capitalize on the educational value of their churches?
Well, that's interesting. You know, as Catholic schools have gotten bigger, particularly the high schools, they're having this phenomenon called the gym mass. You know, they don't have a chapel big enough for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a priest I know who decided that the gym wasn't churchy enough, and so he and the art teacher and the drama teacher developed a big scrim, a big canvas, and they painted the image of Christ reigning in glory from the book of Revelation on this canvas, and then they hang it in the gym when they have Mass to provide this heavenly and eschatological or end times dimension. And they had the students decide which saints would be represented among the heavenly beings, and they studied each saint, and then they took votes about it, and they gave in-class presentations. And so the life of liturgy flowed out into the classroom, into the discussion, and then when they go to Mass, they realize that they're not alone in a gym, but
yep,
it's actually the sacramental building that connects them to the mystical body, and they love it. They love to pose in front of it for photos, and they got in the newspaper, and it's been a great success.
That's a great idea.
It's a piece of a whole.
Yes.
Makes the education just a part of the worship and prayer and learning are one piece.
So Sister Mary Paul will be speaking at Holy Name coming up this Wednesday, the 4th. Dr. Dennis McNamara on church architecture and history a week from this Wednesday, November 11th. And then Dr. Jeff Rosen, Dean of Loyola School of Continuing and Professional Studies on Wednesday, November 18th. Frank, for our listeners who might want additional information on the speaker series, they can go to the Holy Name website.
Holy Name website, or they can call 312-787-8040. That's 312-787-8040.
All right, and the website is www.holynamecathedral.org, holynamecathedral.org. And your education committee has been around for some time. You've been involved in it for a while. What else may be coming down the road for educational programs at Holy Name? More programs similar to this, other ways to get the parishioners into their faith and life at
yes,
the cathedral?
A few more theologically oriented classes and some professional and some lifestyle classes.
Best of luck to your work. Thank you all for joining us. You'll have
Thank
them
you.
Standing room only, I'm sure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
You're listening, to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Would you like to support support bringing in Jason Evert and other dynamic chastity programs that reach about 25,000 teens and young adults locally every year? Would you like to hear an internationally renowned leader from the Vatican discuss how U.S. policies on abortion and contraception are impacting Africa and the world? On Sunday, November 22nd, the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago is honored to welcome Cardinal Francis Arinze of Nigeria, the Vatican's Prefect Emeritus of the Congregation of Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. Come hear this tremendous leader of the Church and our beloved Cardinal Francis George at the Educating Minds Inspiring Hearts Benefit Dinner for the Chastity Education Initiative. To reserve your seats to hear Cardinal Arinze, call the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or go to our website, respectlifechicago.org. Join us on Sunday, November 22nd for a great evening for a great cause.
When was the last time you spoke with your neighbors? How are they holding up in these current hard economic times? People in your neighborhood, even the person living right next door, might be struggling. It could be a few late mortgage payments, a food shortage, or even problems with substance abuse or domestic violence. At Catholic Charities, your neighbors are in our care. We work to feed, clothe, counsel, and shelter anyone in need. Consider donating to our Neighbors in Need Fund. Visit us at CatholicCharities.net or call 312-655-7525.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's 9:32 in the morning on this Monday, on the Feast of All Souls. I'd like to begin this segment by just inviting everyone to take a moment and remember a dearly departed, someone who blessed you in life, and someone who can continue to bless us by praying for us as they stand before the Lord. So just take a moment to remember them, remember the good that they brought into your life, remember the special times you had together. And give thanks for that person and pray for them, because we are all one in the Lord, whether living or dead, and we can continue to make a difference in each other's lives. We're going to be talking during this segment about a very important ministry in most, if not all, of our parishes, bereavement and outreach ministry, how we can take care of one another and especially console one another when we've experienced times of loss. On the phone this morning, we have Diane Ostrowski, who for 34 years has been a nurse, and in addition to her nursing background, has also earned a Master of Divinity. She now coordinates the bereavement ministry at St. Alexander Parish in Palos Heights. Welcome, Diane.
Good morning. Thank you.
How did you cross over from the nursing field into this area of very direct and very personal kind of ministry within the parish?
Well, I was working for about 25 years in the hospital, and I started doing side ministry, then doing outreaches and retreats and missions with an itinerant preacher. And I just felt that in the hospital then I was missing something, that I wanted to cross over that bridge between nursing and medicine and helping people in the home when they go home and dealing with faith issues that most of the time come up when a crisis hits. And so I pulled away from the hospital and found out about things about doing parish nursing and researched what church the Lord was sending me to, and lo and behold, he brought me to St. Alexander's. So here I am doing both now.
Is that also your home parish?
Yes, it is. Yes.
That's great.
Diane, one of the ways that we often think of bereavement and outreach ministry is in a really holistic way, that it's a process and a ministry to the body, the mind, and the spirit. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about what that means for your work at St. Alexander's.
Yes. Well, again, in the hospital when I worked, I was really just mainly the nurse. And when someone needed a chaplain, we called in the chaplain. And when they needed something else, we called that in. And I felt like very segmented. And so I knew that when I was going to start doing work, that God made us to be tripart beings, that we're body, mind, and spirit, and that we can't separate one from the other. And so when I started the ministry, the Lord really put on my heart that it really was to be a holistic body, mind, and spirit. So, and my definition of health is it's not an absence of disease, but a balance of our body, mind, and spirit. I've been blessed to see many people who are in great distress and illness and dying, and yet they still have a joy in the Lord and a peace about it, which to me that just is amazing. And so when I ask them how they are, I may take their blood pressure, but I may also ask them, so where's God in your life? What's going on with this? So I don't segment and say, okay, a person, I'm dealing with their body here, then their mind, and send somebody else in to do that. I'm blessed to be able to do that holistic from continuum, from healthy during their illness, and carry them through.
Does it surprise people when those kinds of questions come from a medical professional?
A little bit it does. You know, I'm very grateful for our pastor, because when we brought the ministry into the church, it was new. It was something, you know, that was not common, that other Catholics have heard. And so he really introduced it and made sure that they knew that this was not, I was just not the parish nurse to do their, you know, help them with their medications and this, that it really was that when you see Diane, she's going to be taking care of all of you. She's going to be asking for all of your needs and not doing that. So I think the way that it was presented by the pastor and by received by the people, it was very easy to get into then.
And the other portion of your work, Diane, of course, is not only dealing with the individual who may be dying or very ill, but also their family, their loved ones, those that are close to them. And that's a real important dimension of what you do.
Correct, correct. You know, it's amazing because, you know, the beauty of being a member in the parish is that I'm worshiping right next with these same individuals. They see me on Sundays when I'm greeting them when they're healthy. So they know who I am when they need me. So it's not like Diane who or who, you know. They're not calling somebody new in at a time of crisis. And so I'm worshiping them, I see them, I walk with them at the good times, meet them at the parties and this church events. And then when sickness comes their way or loss or death, then I walk with them, with the individual, as well as minister to the family. And if and when that person does go to the Lord, then I'm also there to walk them through the grief process and get them reinstituted back into the church. So it's an amazing process.
You know, you've referenced a parish nurse a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect a lot of our listeners may not be familiar with that phenomenon. There's actually a professor at Loyola University, Wayne, who is doing research on the number of parish nurses we have within Catholic parishes here in Chicago. Tell us a little bit about what it means to be a parish nurse what is a parish nurse?
Good point. It really is defined by the community itself. And so there are some parish nurses that work out of institutions or hospitals, that they are mainly there to help with that hospital bridge the gap between home and the hospital. In my situation, I am hired by and specifically only for St. Alexander's Parish. And so my pastor felt that he wanted somebody on board here all the time ministering to our people. And so therefore my focus then changed a little bit, that I'm not doing as much health fair, and I do those things. I teach CPR. I do seminars on nursing issues and things. But on the other hand, he also sees it as a right hand of ministry. And so really a parish nurse is really defined by what the community's needs are, you know, the parish needs are. My term, I chose, the Lord asked me to choose something different than parish nurse, because I said that connotation that you're the parish's nurse. The minister of health then really puts forth that we're minister first, and we minister to all of you.
Today is the Feast of All Souls. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, talking with Diane Ostrowski from St. Alexander's Parish in Palos Heights. And we'll continue our conversation looking at St. Francis Xavier Parish in Wilmette when we come back.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
Sister Rosemary Conley celebrates her 40th year at the helm of Misericordia. We'll visit with Sister Rosemary and witness the wonderful work being done at Misericordia for people with disabilities. And we'll talk with Cardinal George about his new book, The Difference God Makes, A Catholic Vision of Faith, Communion, and Culture.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You. Compelling television about your Archdiocese.
The Archdiocese of Chicago has launched a blog and wants you to join in the conversation. Here's Cardinal Francis George talking about modern communications.
Church was in radio when it first started, and then television. Now with the blogs and the internet and all, the church has to be there too, for the same reason St. Paul was in the town square in Athens and Corinth, the Areopagus, where people would come together and listen to everybody talk. Well, that Areopagus is now electronic.
Cardinal George will rotate with other archdiocesan leaders in posting their thoughts on faith-based topics and taking part in this electronic dialogue. Visit our blog at www.archchicago.org. Read what Catholic leaders have to say and become part of the discussion. That's www.archchicago.org. We hope to hear from you soon.
We'll see how this works. I'm curious myself. I'm looking forward to it.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, 942 in the morning on a Monday in Chicago. Today being the Feast of All Souls, we're talking with some folks that are involved in bereavement programs at their parish. And joining us now in the studio is Deborah Armenta, who is the Director of Ministers of Care at St. Francis Xavier Parish in Wilmette. And Debbie is also a member of St. Raphael's Parish in Antioch. Deborah, good morning and welcome to the program.
The newest parish in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Right.
You're a founding member. You'll go down in the history book.
How did you get started in this ministry, Deborah?
Well, I was hired on at St. Francis 2 years ago, and it was really part of the request when I was hired. I have a strong background in pastoral ministry, but the piece that they were looking particularly for along in conjunction with directing the 95 ministers of care that we have is to spearhead a bereavement ministry. There had been many years that they had tried to kind of put something into place, but nothing formal ever really grew. And so it became part of my mission, so to speak, to spearhead this ministry. And in the last year, we've really put together a very solid program. So
now when we talk about ministry of care and bereavement ministry, we're really talking about two different ministries aimed at two different populations.
Correct.
So explain what the Ministry of Care, per se, is.
Ministry of Care is a diocesan program, actually, where we train volunteers to go out and bring Holy Communion to the sick and the homebound. And our ministers of care work 6 days a week. We have 95 ministers of care, and we work with the homebound, we work in the hospitals, and then we also work within seven other assisted living facilities. And then the bereavement ministry is specifically geared towards walking one-on-one or companioning in a group or even through large forum events with people who are suffering through loss. And it's a very, very profound ministry, and one that I think people tend to shy away from because death is not something that we accept easily in this culture. So for those folks who are suffering and often feeling isolated, it has become our mission on our bereavement team at St. Francis to let every single person know within our parish community that they are not alone in their grief.
Yeah. Even those of us who should know better sometimes make the mistake of thinking, okay, 6 months have gone by, you should be over this now. And obviously that's not the case.
Exactly, exactly. And people grieve on their own. There is no timetable for grief. Frequently, even after the phone calls stop within a month to 2 months, the first year can be very difficult. People have said the second year was harder than the first. There's a beautiful book by Joan Didion in The Year of Magical Thinking where she just articulates so beautifully the shock that she went through for an entire year, and it was really the second year where she began to normalize her life again. But you said it exactly, is that we tend to think there's a time frame on it, and okay, now we've all moved on, but for those of us in grief, we have not moved on. We are still living with it.
Diane, in your work at St. Alexander's, if we can go back in this process, do you find that in some cases it's difficult for individuals, for families to accept help, to really reach out and look toward the work that you do, the ministry you do at St. Alexander's for support during difficult times?
Oh, unfortunately, yes. You would think that that would not be the case, but unfortunately it is. And that's why I think it's so valuable that they know people before the process, during it, and after. You know, if they don't know anybody during the process or during the time that the person is getting sick or grieving or going through the loss, et cetera, then it's a little bit difficult to reach out to somebody new at that time, you know. But if you've got that connection, that continuity of care, then hopefully, you know, it makes it a little bit easier because they're getting follow-up calls or follow-up letters or, you know, a note every once in a while just saying, hi, how are you doing? So that when they get that, they feel like, okay, this isn't something new I have to do again. It's a continuum of somebody that I already know.
And the piece of family, familial support from not only immediate family members, but maybe more distant family members is so critical as part of this process. And also, I would imagine, so challenging for the work that that you do, Diane and Deborah, if that support mechanism isn't there.
That's exactly right. Frequently, the whole family unit is grieving. So there's a lot of complicated dynamics that take place. I'm respectful of the point that Diane made that there is hopefully a continuity of care, but that isn't always the case. Just for a quick example, we've been running for this year, and we're actually going to extend them now, these small support groups where people can come in, and we add the faith piece, which is the critical piece for people. We have found there's lots of support groups out there, but people that are trying to process their faith in the loss do not have a lot of places to go to do that in a small group setting. And I've had people come from different parishes that have been completely disconnected from families, friends, and other parishes as well, and have been very grateful for a place, even if they only come once, or others have been continuing on through the months to find that family support, so to speak, in the Catholic family. So it's a very powerful, powerful journey and process.
We want to let our listeners know that parishes that might be looking to start a bereavement ministry or that want to make their bereavement ministry more active can get help by calling Catholic Cemeteries of the Archdiocese of Chicago. That phone number is 773-239-4422. Once again, that's 773-239-4422. The kind of assistance that you can receive by contacting Catholic seminaries is they'll come and work with parish groups. They can train volunteers with materials from the National Catholic Ministry to the Bereaved. They can help. They have maintain a list of grief counselors and support groups, and they can provide access to materials such as books and videos that can be borrowed. How critical would you say this ministry is in the life of a parish?
I think it's critical. I think it's a critical piece that's missing many times, as you said, not deliberately, but it's something that we don't really, I think on some level, don't even want to embrace because death is hard. But in the last year that we've been doing this, I have seen people come forward that have stayed away from the parish. They've been sort of on the parish fringes. We have held two large group forums, community events, and we have a third actually in next week. And we've had 40 to 50 people attend those both times. Our support groups run 10 to 12 members. I'm thinking for next week, just before the holidays, it may be even more. But to go back to your question, I think it's a critical piece of recognizing in the Beatitudes, we just heard it yesterday, blessed are those who mourn. It's a way of bringing everybody back into the community of faith in that relationship that we walk with them. They are not alone in their grief.
And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. It's 9:51 in the morning, and we'll be right back.
For four decades, the Catholic Campaign for Human Development has invested in the human spirit, improving the quality of life in our less fortunate communities. CCHD is committed to the right to life and dignity of every human being. Here's Cardinal Francis George.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development is designed to help people who are usually poor to figure out, with a little bit of help, how they can help themselves, and in that way, to break the cycle of poverty.
From the far northern reaches of Lake County to the southeast side of Chicago, CCHD-funded programs keep kids safe and out of gangs, help the homeless get back on their feet, care for the elderly, and protect the rights of workers, immigrants, and people with disabilities. The need is great. Your help is critical. The Catholic Campaign for Human Development is committed to battling the root causes of poverty through faith and through action. Make Chicago and its suburbs a better place to live. Support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development.
Do you want to make a real difference in saving lives? Then join us for the Chicago Area 40 Days for Life prayer campaign. Chicago is one of 216 cities participating in this 40-day, 24-hour-a-day peaceful vigil outside abortion clinics nationwide. Last year, more than 20 babies and women were saved from abortion here in Chicago. Get involved. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-534-5355. That's 312-534-5355. Or go to our website at 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. That's 40daysforlife.com/Chicago. Get involved in saving lives through the power of prayer today.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. It's 9:53 in the morning, Feast of All Souls. And we are talking, this is Graziano Marcheschi, together with Wayne Magyars, talking with Deborah Armenta, Director of Ministry of Care at St. Francis Xavier Parish in Wilmette, and Diane Ostrowski, who is parish nurse, otherwise known as Minister of Health, at St. Alexander's in Palos Heights. During the break, Deborah, you were talking very passionately about how important this ministry is in the life of a parish. Can you recount an experience? Tell us a little story about where one of your ministers of care, maybe you had the opportunity yourself, was able to reach out to someone in a way that you could tell really made a difference.
Sure. I'll give you a quick example. In our small groups, I like to use a symbol or something to kind of generate conversation, and we usually do that with some sort of scripture verses and a period of quiet and then a time to share. And we used two broken clay pot that had been re-glued and a whole pot, and then a cross that had shattered mosaic pieces on it. And we were just reflecting on the clay pot and the hole in it, and how, like life with great loss, the pieces go back together but never quite right. And there is that hole that will always be there, but that we continue on with our altered reality. And as we were sharing on this, people were just expressing their own experiences in light of this. And one woman said to us, you know, the flower pot doesn't work for me, but I look at this cross with the broken shards of glass, and I can identify myself with Christ's brokenness and pain and suffering. And that just took everybody into the whole next place of being able to say, Jesus walked this journey. Jesus is with me on this. And it was very, very profound. And that's the faith piece, as I said earlier, that really does take our pain and suffering to the next level, to a hopeful.
Yeah. You know, your story reminds me of a story by Rachel Naomi Riemann in a book that she wrote. And she talks about, she's a psychiatrist, treating a young man who had a leg amputated. He was a great athlete. When she first treated him, she asked him to draw a picture of an image of himself, and he drew a clay pot with a big black hole in the middle.
Oh,
and he said, that's me, a worthless pot, you know, that can't
Wow.
do. Well, after years of therapy, where he himself began to reach out to people like himself because he understood their pain, he understood the situation, he asked for that picture back. He said, you know, it's really not finished. And he took a yellow crayon, and he drew rays of light coming out of that black hole.
Wow.
He says, you see that hole? That's where the light shines through.
Wow.
And I think you're talking about that kind of transformation.
Exactly, exactly. And it does. It brings people to the next level, and the hopeful that we have on our faith journey.
Diane, we've gotten a whole page full of ministries and activities that your program sponsors at St. Alexander. Tell us about some of them, the ones that you think have really been effective in helping people deal with their loss.
Sure. We do have a large team, and, you know, just because I'm honored to be the spokesperson, but we have such a large team that comprises it. It's like Debbie said, we have people who visit in the nursing home, the hospitals, the ministers of care. We also have a prayer shawl ministry that make prayer shawls for the sick and the dying, and that's a beautiful thing because then they hold on to that, the family holds on to that afterwards, and they feel that even though that their loved one is gone, they still have something that they can hold on to that person wore, and, you know, at the time of death. We have our wake vigil service team that does the wake vigil prayer and presiders at the actual funerals. We have a ministry that sends out sympathy cards and letters on a periodic basis so that after that 2 months is forgotten, you know, people start getting back into their own lives. They get a card every once in a while, a handwritten card from the church or from the parish. Follow-up letters. We also have a Martha and Mary ministry. It's moms who are at home that maybe have toddlers that can't do ministry in the church right now, but they can sure make a meal for somebody to let them know they're not forgotten. And then we also have grief support groups as well, support groups, and then we have coffee and conversation nights in between. So we have probably, there's probably about 80 to 100 different people, different ministries that just make it. I'm kind of like the triage nurse. What does the person need? And then I call the other ministries in to help that person get through the difficult time.
Any one of those ministries that especially stands out for you as something that you really enjoy participating in?
You know what? All of them. It's amazing. And everybody, you know, because they're, and then they may connect with somebody different. You know, they may connect with one of the deacons that does the vigil service or the person who's at the support group. You know, it's just amazing to see that how people can reconnect with somebody or some one person just made a difference in their life that will help them through this difficult time.
Well, we could go on with this mm-hmm. because it's such an important topic, but unfortunately our time is up. We want to thank our guest this morning, Deborah Armenta, Director of Ministries of Care at St. Francis in Wilmette, and Diane Ostrowski, who coordinates the Bereavement Ministry at St. Alexander. I want to thank my co-host, Wayne Majars, and we thank our producers, Diane Dunnigan and Jim Dish, and our engineer, Mr. Michael May. Just a final reminder, this is the Feast of All Souls, so take some time today not only to remember but to pray for those people who have blessed your life. God bless you, and we'll see you the next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.